Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Nashville, which is where you are.
That would be a little weird.
Yeah.
But I would go there today.
You would.
To get me a little pick-me-up.
Robbie is up there covering the SEC tournament, but we still got time to do Thunder and Lightning with you. Want to make sure that you're starting your day the right way, and if you can't be in Starkville or Tupelo, go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. They can ship it right to your door. All the great coffees they have at Strange Brew Coffeehouse are available at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. That's the slogan there. What it really means is this: whatever it takes to get people in the door at your business, Pip Printing and Signs has a solution for you. 30 years of experience here in the state of Mississippi doing just that. Bulldog owned and operated. And when you call them up today and you say, hey, heard about you guys on Thunder and Lightning, whatever business you give them, they're going to give 10% of that right back to the Bulldog Initiative. That is a deal you cannot beat. It's money you're already spending if you're a business owner. So spend it with Pip Printing and Signs, and you can help the Bulldog Initiative all at once. If you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. If you're looking to replace the banner M in your life, which you should be, with State Script, with the interlocking, with the M over S, they've got a full selection for you there at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. For lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, make sure you've got a trip to Restaurant Tyler planned out. It's the best in town. Grabbing and look, a 4 o'clock first pitch on Saturday means you can get over there for dinner. It's spring break here in Starkville this weekend, which means the restaurants, the streets aren't going to be too packed with people. So you got a great chance to get a table and enjoy a fantastic meal if you come to Starkville this weekend at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. If you are a person like me, if you like doing business with the people that you know, the people in your community, then you want to talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank. You can leave those big corporate banks behind and all their poor customer service and the fact that they don't give a damn about you. I don't know why I got so angry.
Oh.
But it's the truth.
Why?
It's the truth.
Your mouth is filthy.
Okay. You need to deal with a great small corporate community bank, but they still have all the financial power of the big bank. So it's the best of both worlds. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Hey there, Robbie.
Hey there. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great. Glad to see you made it to Nashville, and you were there at the Bridgestone Arena as we speak, getting ready. I guess Mississippi State just finished up practice today. You got a chance to see them out there on the court.
They were mostly shooting half court shots and throwing alley-oops.
Locked in. Good.
Right.
They're locked in. Real cool. Okay. So anyway,
Philly Dave was hitting half court shots.
I saw that. I saw the highlights on Twitter. We've been talking about must win, you know, just need to win one for the past four games. Now this is the fifth one, and it's just need to win one. But it's win this one or it's the last one for Mississippi mm-hmm. State. They finally reached the point where you have to say the words must win. Based on what you're saying, though, Robbie, it sounds like they're pretty loose and they feel pretty good. You know, being there at practice, what can you tell us?
Yeah, they very much were loose at practice. And we actually talked to Shaq Moore and Cam Matthews after. And both of them very confident coming into the game. It seems like they're ready to play. They they know what's at stake. They understand that this is going to be a very important game for the NCAA tournament hopes. And it seems like, you know, that they're not really bothered by the losing streak that they've been on here. I get the sense that this is a team that has been around. They kind of know what to expect, and they know what this is all about. They've been here several times, most of this team has. So it seems like a team that's ready to roll, to be honest with you. And, you know, like I said, talking to Shaq Moore and Cam Matthews, they are really confident.
That's good to hear, you know, considering that they're, you know, on a four-game losing streak. But that losing streak started after a big win against the LSU Tigers, who were a team, you know, maybe an NIT bid this year. I'm not really sure. I haven't looked enough at the NIT to really tell you the truth on that one. But this is a team the state handled very easily on the road in Baton Rouge just a few weeks ago. A game that was the first game of this incredible streak that Josh Hubbard has been on, where he was named SEC Freshman of the Week after that game. Tolu Smith had a really big game in that one as well. So, you know, the matchup, I think, favors Mississippi State, but I would have said that about A&M, and I would have said that about South Carolina as well. It's just about, you know, is State going to play up to its potential? What do you think? You know, I know you can't tell much from a practice session, but do you feel like this Mississippi State team is finally ready to play at the level we know they can play at because we've seen it this year?
That remains to be seen. I mean, we'll have to see that on Thursday. One thing that I'll say about this team is it's not like they've come out like, you know, I look at the women's team and they've just played really uninspired basketball against bad teams. This team has been playing okay in spurts, and they have been playing a very difficult schedule. I mean, you got to give them that. They've played a Kentucky team that was playing pretty well. South Carolina has been good all year long and played a great game, too, in that ball game. And A&M is playing really good basketball. State got off to a terrible start, but I thought how they finished that was good. I think this team has shown that they're capable of competing in those games and just haven't been able to get over the hump. Some, you know, they've played inspired basketball. They don't seem to be letting this losing streak get to them. It's just a matter of going out there and winning a game. Because the NCAA committee isn't going to care that in these last six games they've been close against Kentucky and A&M and South Carolina and teams like that and Auburn, even though that wasn't very close. They're not going to care about that. They're going to care about whether or not they're winning the games. And you look at the resume right now, every metric says Mississippi State needs one more win and they are pretty much securely in. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 99% if MSU wins one more ball game. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of going out there and doing it at this point, and all you can do is just go out there and try to take care of business in one game. And if you win this game, you try to do it again against Tennessee, and we'll see what happens. But you definitely need to win this ball game. And it feels a little different than it did last year, I think, mm-hmm. too, coming into this tournament. Last year – you felt like they would be good if they beat Florida, but it still wasn't a given. And it turns out if they would have lost that game, they wouldn't have made the tournament. So this feels like a given for Mississippi State. If they can win this game against LSU, the resume is going to be more than enough to get them in the tournament and securely get them in, not in a play-in game.
Yeah, that is another key difference there, that a win in Mississippi State is just in. They will not be worried about going to Dayton. They'll be going to the first pod, wherever that is. My guess is a 1-1 record. So State wins on Thursday, but then loses the game to Tennessee. Probably a 9 seed, maybe a 10 at that point, but probably a 9 seed. If they could somehow knock off Tennessee, then they start talking about maybe – I think a win over Tennessee would jump them up two seed lines. I think they might be a 7 seed at that point. They would have two wins over Tennessee to go with
Wouldn't
their win over Auburn.
That resume would be pretty strong.
Be very strong at that point. But, you know, that's kind of, you know, worry about that when you get there. It's all about this game with LSU. And if they can win this game, then Selection Sunday should be a stress-free environment for Mississippi State as opposed to a year ago. We had an interesting question on the rumblings yesterday, and I wanted to sort of go back to it. It said, does this season tell us more about the floor or the ceiling of Chris Jans? And I've brought this up before. Jans, when he first took the job, the first press conference, he talked about the portal and how he was going to use the portal and, you know, not build a program but build a team every year and go on from there. And he didn't really have that opportunity to do that this year because he brought everybody back. And you know, I feel like I've said it before, there's been some revisionist history regarding that. There are a lot of people who are talking about we shouldn't have done all this and brought all these guys back were quite excited when Deshaun Davis and Shaq Moore and Cam Matthews and everybody said, no, I'm back for one more run. But next year you're going to have to go out and hit that portal. So when I say I think we've learned about the floor of Jans, I feel like Jans can take whatever you give him and put out a team that's going to compete for the NCAA tournament. We don't really know the ceiling yet, do we? Because we have to see him recruit in this portal era. And I will say this, say what you want about the results. Everybody wanted Andrew Taylor. You know, he was a highly recruited guy. It just didn't work out. Sometimes that happens. And unfortunately, it happened to Mississippi State in this instance. But he got a guy that other people wanted. I got to see what he does when he needs to get four or five guys. But that's what's going to determine the ceiling of Chris Jans more than anything else.
Yeah, let's see what he does when he can have a little bit more time. I mean, he's still working with a lot of the same players that were here when he got here, or the first group of transfers that he got in here, whatever. That it's still some of the same guys. And those guys didn't want to leave last year, and he didn't want to get rid of them. So you kind of go with the hand you're dealt. And like you said, everybody was excited about those players coming back because you thought another year in the system, they're going to be better. And I think that, you know, we've definitely seen some good things from Rams Davis down the stretch. Shaquille Moore has played well this season, but he needs to step it up a notch here in postseason play. And then you know what you got in Cam Matthews and Tolu Smith, guys like that. So, like you said, I mean, he filled the needs nicely. He got Jimmy Bell to be the backup center, and they're not in this position without Jimmy Bell. He hasn't been a superstar by any means in SEC play, but with Tolu Smith out in non-conference play, he kept the team afloat. So you have that, and then he won a big battle with Andrew Taylor. It just didn't work out, and that happens everywhere. There's a guy that comes out the transfer portal that people are really excited about that didn't work out, and it just is what it is. But I think State has rebounded nicely enough that, you know, that hasn't kept them from doing what they want to do this year, I don't think. They're still in position to do that without Andrew Taylor.
Agreed.
So it remains to be seen on what the ceiling and the floor is, I think. I refuse to believe that the floor or the ceiling is this. I just don't. Chris Jans is too good of a coach, and he's worked with what he has and what he was given very well. Having the team in the NCAA tournament last year, whether it be a play-in game or not, with that team that didn't have the offensive capabilities was amazing. So I refuse to believe bubble in the NCAA tournament is his ceiling. I think that this program can do a whole lot more, and he's just getting started because I think he's a great coach. He's got to win recruiting battles and more of them. But I really believe that he's doing something here at Mississippi State, and he's going to be able to build on it. But they really need to win and get into the tournament. I think it is crucial for him to have that on his resume going into next year for something to build on beyond this season.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. So that's basketball, and that feels like it's some good news. Let's change the topic. Let's talk a little baseball, right?
Do we have to?
Yeah, we do.
Really?
Yeah. Robbie, I had somebody – let me see if I can find this. Let me find this. So, yeah, as you know, we have the C Spire text line, a little free pub for them here on Thunder and Lightning. And somebody yesterday was on there talking about my baseball prediction. Let me see if I can find it here. Oh, I can't. That's not it. I want to read it word for word if I can. Here it is. Does anybody else remember when Haydad said about a month ago that this team would not be good because they have the same players as last year and we know what they do? And tried to call me out. Well, congrats, buddy. You did it. You snapped a losing streak. I put it on you. Or snapped a winning streak, I should say. Mississippi State up 5-0, but sort of a weird 5-0, right? It was in one inning. They had a 3-run home run from Monty Larry and then a 2-run job from Dakota Jordan, which led to a verbal altercation, which led to South Alabama's head coach getting tossed from the game. But from there, it looked like the State of old. A big error cost them a couple of runs and then some walks, and the next thing you know, State loses the game 6-5. They will be, at best, 13-5 playing LSU on Friday, the exact same record they had a season ago going into SEC play. I mean, Robbie, a game they just out and out gave away. And at this point, again, and something that we haven't really talked about, I think. You know, you look at State's strength of schedule and where they are in the RPI. I think they're down in the 90s now. They were at 86 yesterday, and I haven't checked. But surely
they actually had a chance to be a nice win for them because South Alabama was rated fairly high in the RPI. Yeah.
But as it is, they dropped 7 spots. They're at 96. Their strength of schedule is 128. We've talked a lot about 14 wins, right? 14 wins and you're in. Are you? Because what's your strength of schedule going to be? What's your RPI going to be with 14 wins? I mean, it should be good, but it could still be in the low 50s. You know, I mean, you got to think, if State gets up to 56, that's a 40-point jump. That's a big jump, but it may not be enough. They may have to be
with how many wins?
If they had 14.
I think they would get in with 14.
But it would work itself out. It would not be a for sure deal that they would be in with 14.
But, Brian, they're not going to get to 14.
No, I mean, I know. I'm just saying for the crowd that's holding on to that thought, the rest of us are over here knowing that they're not going to get to 14 wins. They're probably not going to get to 12. I heard you had a bet with somebody about State and Ole Miss.
I did?
Combined 20 wins? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did. Was it combined 20 wins?
Yeah, you said that. Yeah, that they would not combine for 20 wins. I think you got a chance to win that. Ole Miss might get – Ole Miss looks like they could get to 12 or 13, but State is probably going to be around – 9 or 10.
There is a very good chance that they go 1-11 out of the gates in SEC play. 1-11. I mean, you can't have any faith in this team, Brian. The pitching staff and the defense, I think, is going to be better than what they were on Tuesday most nights. That was kind of an anomaly for the defense to have those lapses.
Agreed.
And, you know, the pitching staff has been better. The offense has consistently been bad. They had one inning where they scored a run. One inning against South Alabama, who was throwing a bullpen game.
Yeah. And what kills me is, so in the ninth, you have a man on third. South Alabama walks Dakota Jordan, because it makes sense. He's hotter than anybody else, right? To bring up Hunter Hines, one of the best power hitters in college baseball the last 2 years, and he can't do it. I mean, he should be insulted. Like, they're walking to get to me. I mean, it literally would be like walking, you know, for Braves fans a few years ago, walking Acuna to get to Freddie Freeman. I mean, what are you doing? But that's what happened. But he can't deliver for him. He is not hitting the ball well at all. He only has one home run through 17 games. That is an incredible stat for me. This is why this is the sign of when you have a bad head coach, right? When you fix a problem and another problem crops up. You seem like you fixed your pitching and you fixed your defense a little bit, but now you can't get the timely hits anymore.
Yeah.
That's the issue with this team, and that's why, you know, I'll just go ahead and tell you, if they win a game from LSU this weekend, I'm going to consider it a huge surprise.
I just don't understand. I completely am at a loss for words as to why this has happened and how. Because I we've talked about it ad nauseum, but it's just you go from winning a national championship to this. How does it happen? Mm-hmm. How can you can't just luck into going to Omaha and having those kind of seasons that you had in 19 and 21, basically back to back. But it, you know, 2020 was what it was, but that team was going to be good too.
They were going to figure it out.
You can't have a guy in there that, you know, is the head coach that right now it seems doesn't know how to fix this, that's somehow got you playing baseball well enough to compete for national championships. It doesn't make sense. I just don't understand how this is happening, but it really is like crazy how it seems like they've gotten tremendously better on the mound. And I know they weren't great on Tuesday, but you know, last year in those kind of games, they're walking 11, 12 guys and they're not competing. And they just got beat on a couple of at bats and the defense let them down. But it's crazy how this continues to happen.
Bulldogs, as you're listening, will have played New Orleans at a 5 o'clock first pitch. If they lose that one, Robbie, I mean, if an 0-5 week, I will literally, if they go 0-5 this week, Robbie, that may be the last baseball talk we have before we get to the change that's going to happen at that point, because I just got better things to talk about. It's just that.
Well, it's just we've talked about this baseball program and we've complained about it and we've ranted on it and
ad nauseum. Now there's the word.
There's really nothing else for us to say. Yeah. You know, there's no reason for you or I to rant anymore. There's no reason for us to yell, get upset. I mean, it just is what it is. It looks like even after the 9-game winning streak, we kind of know what's coming.
Yeah. It was the same thing as last year. They went on like a 7 or 8 game winning streak at this point. And yeah. Then they got the conference play and went right, you know, went right to hell. So yeah, that's where I am. And until they do something that surprises me in a good way, I'm not gonna sweat it. So let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Guys, this weekend, the weather's going to be fantastic. Let's fire up the grills. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef. I was at the grocery store today, and some of the cuts of beef they have are just incredible up there. I mean, I just live in a small town Kroger, but flat iron steaks and skirt steaks and flank steaks, these are really good, underrated, and inexpensive cuts. You can make some great meals for your family with. So check it out. Head over to your local butcher, head over to your local meat market, and pick up some beef today. Beef, it is what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you're looking for. I don't know if I've told you, my legendary cousin Chris is going to be here this weekend. Have I told you about this?
No.
The LSU fan?
Is that the Stallion?
The Stallion, yes. So he's bringing his son. They're touring state, so his son is interested in maybe coming to school here. But I think we're going
to
meet for
you
lunch.
You know what to do.
We're going to – I've already talked to Charlie. He's going to be the first ever NIL recipient off of – that's not playing a sport. We just got to break this this Augustinelli LSU.
It's just got to be done. It's got to be done.
I understand. But I think I'll take him to lunch at Two Brothers. I think that's where we'll head over.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah. So that's my plan. So that's making the assumption that he will reach out to me for lunch. You never know. Might be too good.
Those Augustinellis.
No, just him. Just him. The rest of them are fine.
He's the only scallywag in the family.
He's the scallywag, yeah. So hope to see him there. Hopefully I can make it to Two Brothers this weekend. And if I can't, I'll just go by myself because I like Two Brothers. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you're looking for. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing that for 49 years. It's just this simple, guys. If you are looking for technology for your business, if you need a new copy or a new printer, something like that, you need to check out Advantage Business Systems. And then when something goes wrong and you need service after the sale, they're right there with you the whole way. So give them a call today and find out what they can do for you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. This weekend, if you're going to be in Starkville, make sure you've got a trip to Maroon & Co. on the docket. The code is THUNDER15, 15% off all regular priced items. All you got to do is say the code. Some exclusions do apply, but for the most part, their incredible selection of MSU gear with the state script, the M over S, the interlocking is available to you. The Bulldog Initiative gear, which they've added a lot of great new Horn Legend quarter zips and polos, and the Wild Gear cups right there. And, of course, a lot of other great stuff. Unique selections that you can't find anywhere else. You can only find it at Maroon & Co. Before you go to Duty Noble this weekend, go to Maroon & Co. We got a couple of spring previews to get through. Some guys who are probably there in Nashville with you, Robbie. Let's start with the Arkansas Razorbacks. Jackson Fuller of the Southwest Record Times joined me earlier today. That's a team that's very interesting because I love a coach on the hot seat and nobody hotter than Sam Pittman. So what is he expecting this year in Fayetteville? Let's now go now to my friend Jackson Fuller as he talks to us about the Arkansas Razorbacks. Stop number two on our SEC spring previews takes us to Fayetteville and the Arkansas Razorbacks. Jackson Fuller from the Southwest Times Record is here with us. And, you know, they say you should never say never. I would have said never to Bobby Petrino returning to Fayetteville under any capacity, let alone offensive coordinator, but there he sits. What's the mood in Fayetteville as they go into what is obviously a crucial year for Sam Pittman?
Yeah, Brian, I think there's some optimism with the Bobby Petrino hire. There's a lot of excitement at him being back just based off his success in his previous time here with the Razorbacks as the head coach. But I do think the optimism is a little bit guarded. I think people are really looking forward to seeing what the offense looks like. But I think there's a lot of people within the fan base that are a little puzzled by the decision to retain Sam Pittman at the end of the year. I understood the logic behind it. I also can't really blame the fans for being a little bit confused just based off how poorly things went last year. But inside the football facility, there definitely does seem to be some new life, some new energy with all the coaching changes, some roster turnover. And I think they're excited to play with a chip on their shoulder this year, knowing that not a lot of people are thinking much about the football team, and maybe they can go prove some people wrong.
A lot of new faces in Arkansas, and there will be one behind center as KJ Jefferson has left Arkansas after a great career there. Who's going to be the quarterback for this Razorback team? Will it be transfer, recruit? Who's the guy for them?
So the guy, all signs are pointing to it being Talon Green, who transferred in from Boise State this offseason. Jacoby Criswell is a returnee. He's been a longtime backup at North Carolina and here in Arkansas. Malachi Singleton was a true freshman last year. I think those two guys are certainly challengers in what Coach Pittman's called a quarterback competition, but Green has taken the reps with the first team. He's been, you know, kind of when people talk about Green, they're kind of talking about him already as the starter without explicitly coming out and saying it. So it looks like it's going to be him. Really tall, athletic guy, great talent. He just made a little bit too many turnovers during his time at Boise State, and that's something to watch as he transitions to SEC. But it feels like he's going to be, with his athleticism and his ability to throw the ball down the field, he will be a good fit for a Coach Petrino offense.
And then, you know, if you asked me to tell you who the top playmaker was for Arkansas a year ago, I would have to think about it. Nobody just comes to mind. And obviously the guy I might have said, Rocket Sanders, who struggled a lot last year with injury, he's gone now as well. Who are the guys that are going to be running and catching the football for this offense, and who can step up and be a potential all-SEC guy?
I think Andrew Armstrong is the guy that I'm really looking forward to. He was their best playmaker last year, but that offense was just so caught in the mud 90% of the time. Even when he was making plays, it wasn't necessarily like game-breaking moments and such. But he was consistent for them. He was KJ Jefferson's top target. He's been terrific in spring ball so far. He's going to be the number one wide receiver. And I think, you know, a lot of the issues of the offense last year came down to the offensive line, and that group is retooled, but the playmakers, a lot of them are back from last year. So I think it's going to be interesting. We're going to find out this year, like, hey, did last year's playmakers Or were they a little bit more at fault than we thought for the struggles of last year? Or if things turn around, the playmakers were just working with a very poor offensive line, and that made life difficult for everybody on the offense.
Who are some transfers coming into this Arkansas team that we should have an eye on this spring?
On offense, there's three offensive linemen that have transferred in, but I think the biggest guy, the most impactful of those is going to be Fernando Carmona. He comes in from San Jose State. He's locked down the left tackle starting job already. Coaches have loved what they've seen from him. You know, Landon Jackson, who I think was a preseason All-American by ESPN's marks a couple months ago when they did like a way too early or something. Anyway, Landon Jackson, the defensive end, said he's one of the best offensive linemen he's ever gone against in his life, game, practice, whatever. So Carmona is the guy. But I think one of the biggest transfers is going to be Xavien Sory from Georgia. He was a five-star recruit coming out of high school, didn't find playing time with the Bulldogs. Arkansas has a hole at linebacker. If there's one position aside from offensive line that looks like the biggest hole, it's at linebacker. There's a lot of inexperience there. Sory's going to have to step in and be a starter from day one. And, you know, obviously he was highly rated as a recruit, but he hasn't really shown it in the SEC just yet. So it's a mystery if he can live up to that billing.
Everybody in the SEC plays a tough schedule, but week two for Arkansas, traveling to Oklahoma State, that will probably be a top 25 team and maybe the favorite in the new look Big 12. Is that week two game going to tell us everything we need to know about Arkansas this year?
Oh, you know, I think Brian, I would stretch it out. Weeks one through five really is kind of what I've got my eye on, because they're playing three road games in the first 5 weeks, and one of their home games isn't even in their home stadium. It's down in Little Rock to open the season. So, you know, they're only playing one game in Fayetteville in the first 5 weeks. So, you know, if they lose to Oklahoma State, that's probably not a good sign, but it's a road game. It's going to be, you know, the first big-time road environment for Talen Green. It's going to be a tough one. If they could somehow bounce back and, you know, win one of those first two SEC games, Auburn, Texas A&M, and kind of because the home schedule is really tough, but it's really exciting. I'd love to see them somehow get through that first five-game stretch over 500, 3-2, maybe even 4-1, and then the excitement kind of comes back to the area. Of course, there's a huge possibility they are 2-3 coming into back-to-back home games against Tennessee and LSU, and then, man, there's going to be a lot of pressure on those home games in the SEC this year.
It's definitely a do-or-die year for Sam Pittman. I don't think there's any getting around that up there in Fayetteville. So, Jackson, I've done three of these interviews. You're the first one I'm going to get to call back for an opponent preview because the other two are Alabama and Auburn, and strangely enough, not on the Mississippi State schedule this year. I'm still trying to get used to all that. So, Jackson, we appreciate you having you on. Jackson Fuller from the Southwest Times Record. Thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Brian. Have a good one, man.
All right, thanks to Jackson. Appreciate his time. Real quick before we get out of here, just your 30-second thoughts on the Hogs.
I just don't think it's going to work for Sam Pittman. We've seen this before, the whole coordinator change and things like that. This is his third coordinator in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He just lost his starting quarterback. You know, I haven't seen anything the last couple of years that gives me any kind of glimmer of hope. Love Sam Pittman, great guy, great motivator, good offensive line coach as well, but it just feels like he's kind of scuffling a little bit here, and this is probably the end for him if I had to guess.
I tend to agree, and you know, I love Petrino as a play caller. When his offenses are running, they're great, but I don't know that they've got the personnel for this. I mean, in that interview, he talks about the transfer from Boise and says he had trouble, you know, turning the ball over at Boise. What are you going to do in the SEC when you're facing the best defenses week in and week out? And then, I mean, they just don't have the star power. I feel like, you know, they caught lightning in a bottle there with Kendall Briles and Barry Odom, and it's going to be tough to do that again. So, yeah, my guess is we'll see Sam Pittman at Davis-Wade Stadium this year for the final time as the head coach of the University of Arkansas. We'll hold off on our Auburn preview for one more day when we talk to Matt Cohen of AL.com. We'll talk about that tomorrow. When we talk to Robbie again, we'll be recapping either a win or a loss there from Nashville. Plus, we'll talk a little more baseball as Mississippi State gets started in conference play this weekend, also against the LSU Tigers. For Robbie up there in the Music City, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.